The Food and Drug Administration is responsible for the efficacy of the nation's food and drugs. Some say this responsibility has led the administration into a monstrous conflict of interest. And they lead us to ask, should the Food and Drug Administration be split into the Food Administration and the Drug Administration?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,117th edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or, hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Perth who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Strubia on the board. Say hello, Jason.
It's my pleasure.
So, Jason, there is a Tyrannosaurus Rex in the room that nobody wants to talk about.
Indeed.
What should we do?
I think we better tackle it.
Tackle it?
Let's get it.
Let's tackle it. Let's talk about it. I don't know about tackling it. Pretty big stuff, those Tyrannosaurus Rexes. Well, folks, something is not right. Over the past 40 years of consuming the standard American diet, American men have lost 59.3% of their total sperm count and continue to lose their count at the rate of 1.4% per year. Over that same 40 years, the number of children diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder went from 1 in 2,000 kids to 1 in 42 boys. And 189 girls. Wow. Then this. Well, during the last 15 years, of course, the rate of people dying from Alzheimer's disease in the United States increased by 55%. And then this. Listen to these numbers very carefully. From 1960 to 2017, sales of pharmaceutical drugs in the U.S. grew from $2.7 billion a year to $360.1 billion per year. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an increase of 13,237%. Huge. Think of what you could do with a business that generated that much money. Well, what is not right here? Fingers point in all directions as to why things are not right and continue to get even less right. Some fingers are pointing to the bad things that have been allowed into the standard American diet by the Food and Drug Administration, including heavy metals like the mercury used in the processing of high fructose corn syrup and the glyphosate weed killer used to grow most of America's principal commodity crops. And in pointing out what has been allowed into the SAD diet, which is what we call the standard American diet, and how the sales of pharmaceutical drugs have increased over 13,237%, some people point to the possible conflict of interest at the United States Food and Drug Administration. And their finger pointing leads us to ask you, should the Food and Drug Administration be split into the Food Administration and the Drug Administration? Big question on the table. Here to help us search and answer, we have, once again, Dr. Renee DeFault, Director of Food Ingredient and Health Research Institute and author of Unsafe at Any Meal. She's also a former FDA food inspector. But what I think most interesting about this gal is she's not getting any money from big people to conduct her research. She's getting it from family and friends and people like you and I. So whenever I find somebody without that, without being paid by big interests, I listen. And so when last show, number 1,116, when the last show ended with Dr. Renee's comment that the Food and Drug Administration has a conflict of interest and perhaps it should be broken up into the Food Administration and the Drug Administration, I thought about that. I went away and I was from the show and I was thinking about this comment, and I got to thinking about the last 40 years of the SAD diet and the tremendous increase in debilitating diseases we've had, like Alzheimer's and autism and cancer. And I got to thinking about the over 13,000% increase in the number of pharmaceutical drugs being sold. And I got to thinking, yes, indeed, we do have a Tyrannosaurus Rex in the room that nobody wants to talk about. Dr. Renee Dufault, am I wrong?
No, I think you're correct. I think we have a T-Rex on the loose.
We have a T-Rex in the room, and nobody wants to talk about it. Well, you know, those numbers just struck me. It seems like the FDA has enabled a certain allowable percentage of very bad things in our food. And I'm thinking about the mercury that you turned up and that's being used to process high fructose corn syrup, which is in everything. The glyphosate weed killer that's used in the growing of most of our principal economic crops. And the diseases that have sprung up during that period. And then on the other hand, the incredible increase in the number of pharmaceutical drugs sold. And the FDA is the agency that's making all of this possible, or is there somebody else doing it?
Well, I think the FDA is just one part of the problem, because we also have the USDA and the EPA, and all three agencies are involved in some way of regulating the toxic substances that are allowed in our food supply.
Well, Dr. Renee Dufault, you worked as a food investigator for the FDA, for the NIA, somebody else, right?
Well, no, I worked under the commissioner's office at the FDA, and my job was decommissioning FDA research laboratories. I just stumbled on the food issues in doing my research.
And, of course, when you did the research and came up with the numbers on the food and you took them to the FDA and said, may I please publish these numbers, what did they say?
Well, they said no. They didn't want me to use the data. They said it wasn't for public consumption, if you will.
But the mercury is, right?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the mercury, because, you know, when I talked about this last week's show with people and made mention of the fact that the high fructose corn syrup was being processed with mercury, and that the chances are when you eat things made with high fructose corn syrup, you're getting an allowable dose of mercury. That's fair to say?
Yes, it looks like that's the case from the studies we've done, and it's not just the corn sweeteners. Also, food colors have allowable mercury in some of them, and sodium chemicals. So the preservatives that we use, mm-hmm. And of course, this is widely known in food science circles.
But certainly not in the circles that I've been talking to in the past week. People look at me and say, oh, come on, Olson, you got to be kidding. It can't possibly. But it is. And there it is.
Yes, it is.
So, but the government allows these things into our food in allowable levels. So it's okay to have an allowable level, for example, of glyphosate. And the government recently even increased the amount of glyphosate we human beings are allowed to have in our body. So a couple questions about these allowable levels. Who determines what is allowable?
Well, the problem is a lot of these determinations are made on old science with old risk assessment models. So they're looking at individual toxic substances, and they're not looking at the combined effects that we get from exposure to numerous toxic substances. So there's co-exposures, and we don't have a risk assessment model to look at how all these toxic substances in combination are impacting us. And then there are other factors to consider. For example, how healthy is your diet? If your diet is consists mainly of organic whole foods, then if you do get at a potluck or something exposure to a toxic substance or several, then you're going to be able to weather that exposure much easier than if you're going out to eat at McDonald's 10 times a week or whatever, or going and you don't know what you're eating, and you're probably having multiple exposures to different toxic substances. Well, then over time, chronic, these are chronic low-level exposures, they lead to the development of disease. And the mechanisms are clear there's more than one way to get a disease, and there's more than one cure. So there is no single cure to any disease.
Okay, folks, we're going to take our first quick break. But when we come back, I'd like to ask all of you out there this very simple question. How many times a day do you eat mercury? You eat things in high fructose corn syrup and food coloring? How many times a day are we eating mercury? Is it once? Is it like five times? Is it 100 times? 831-479-1080.
Dream it, build it, own it. Metro Farm it. You can sow it, feed it, grow it. Metro Farm it. You can harvest it and dry it. You can sell it. Metro Farm it.
Learn how to dream it. Build it, sow it, seed it, grow it, harvest it, sell it. Metro Farm it. Yes, you can do it. Dream it, build it, earn it, own it. Metro Farm it.
Oh, learn it, do it, earn it. Metro Farm it. Dream it, build it, own it. It's easy, you can do it. Metro Farm it.
It's all in Metro Farm, the guide to growing for the city. Get your copy today at metrofarm.com.
It's easy. You can do it. Metro Farm it. And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Thank you very much, Will Strickland. Folks, there is something that's just not right out there. In the last few weeks, we learned that there are phthalates in Kraft macaroni and cheese. We learned that there was glyphosate in Ben & Jerry's ice cream. Last week, we learned from our guest, Dr. Renee Dufault, that high fructose corn syrup is made with mercury. And so when you eat anything with high fructose corn syrup, you're getting a little bit of mercury in it. Now, the FDA has made possible the insertion of these materials into our standard American diet. It's passed the rules, and it is determined that certain amounts of these things are allowable. So go ahead and put them in and process the food. We eat the food, and we seem to get all of these weird diseases, like cancer, Alzheimer's, autism, going through the roof. But wait, the Food and Drug Administration almost also makes possible the selling of drugs to treat these diseases. And the number of those drugs being sold has increased over the past 40, 50 years, 13,000%. So, I don't know, how do you judge the FDA? I mean, if you're an industry, it would seem like the FDA is doing a very good job. But if you're one of us that's eating the food and getting sick, you kind of scratch your head. So that's the question on the table today. Should we split the FDA in two? The Food Administration, the Drug Administration. Here to help us, we have Dr. Renee Dufault. Dr. Renee, we were talking about the allowables allowed in food. We talked about the accumulation of things like mercury or lead, whatnot. Glyphosate. We eat a little bit each time. It keeps building up. It bioaccumulates in our bodies. But that's not all it does. It's because it gets mixed with other things. So what happens when you mix mercury with glyphosate and introduce it to a cell?
Well, there's not a whole lot of... I can't think of any studies on that particular mixture. I know that EPA came out with a position statement on chlorpyrifos, which is an organophosphate pesticide that they were going to ban, and then now the new administration has decided to allow it to be used again. And statement, it was actually put out by, it was a report by the ATSDR, which is the Agency of Toxic Substance and Disease Registry out of CDC, and they wrote how exposure to chlorpyrifos, mercury, lead, you know, they could only speculate based on the science of that time that it would put there was a risk of adverse effect, especially in neurodevelopment of children. So there's been a little bit of research on the co-exposures of chlorpyrifos and mercury and chlorpyrifos and lead, just a tad bit, but only for speculation, nothing real in depth. And so we don't know anything about glyphosate and how that might interact with heavy metals to create problems.
So essentially, we don't know anything. We don't know what the consequence of bioaccumulation. We don't know the consequence of recombination, where we have two different things that combine, that get mixed together in the soup of our body. So we absolutely know nothing, do we?
Well, we know very little, actually. And what we do know is based on old paradigms. So, you know, we only had the human genome was only discovered. I think Craig Venter did that in 2000 or something, 2001. There was a big, remember that?
Yep.
And so we figured out how many genes we have. So, and now we know after that it isn't enough to know how many genes we have, which we don't know what makes genes turn on and off. So we're just now learning that. So we know that inorganic mercury can impact gene function. We know that fructose, in fact, scientists that study diabetes in rats, they actually give rats fructose to create the condition of insulin resistance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know that...
Wait a minute. We give rats fructose, which is corn sweeteners, to induce diabetes.
Correct. Yeah, in the lab.
How much fructose do we feed ourselves?
A lot, according to the USDA that tracks the consumption of per capita, on average each American consumes. I can't remember. I think it's 36 pounds per year. I put that in my book.
And they feed this stuff to rats to induce diabetes.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So we can then test, determine if a drug works or not, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah. They feed rats corn sweeteners to induce diabetes, and then they can test various drugs on them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, this is what's going on.
Okay, so, and this is part of the FDA scenario that we're scratching our head over, whereas it not only allows fructose in our diet, but it allows high fructose corn syrup in our diet that has been processed with mercury.
That's correct. They add mercuric chloride to cornstarch at the front end of the process to prevent starch degrading enzymes that are made by bacteria.
Mm-hmm. What happens when these, is there any spec, can you speculate what happens when these things hit our cells? I mean, mercury, for example, there's no known use of the body for mercury, is there?
No use. We know that that there is a gene, PON1 gene, that expresses, when it expresses, their directions are given to produce peroxidase, which is an enzyme that our body uses to break down organophosphate pesticides like chlorpyrifos, okay? So we know that what will suppress that gene is mercury, and we know fructose, both those two.
oh, no.
So in boys, the reason why autism is, this is what I believe.
One in 42 boys.
Because they're born with lower levels of pawn one activity than compared to girls. So when they're at their most sensitive, they're most vulnerable, whatever mom eats or, you know, if there's exposures to inorganic mercury or fructose, because what mom is eating is going to impact the baby when she's breastfeeding, right? Or whatever mom's exposed to.
Or when the baby's in utero, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And those and we know that little boys have lower levels of the peroxidase than little girls. So, therefore, what we're the American lifestyle, if you will, is going to adversely impact those little boys more than the little girls
mm-hmm.
because of that one characteristic that, that boys have lower levels of pawn one activity than girls.
And we feed them fruit juices sweetened with high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, I mean, if parents are feeding their young boys beverages with high fructose corn syrup or some other corn sweetener, then they're going to, you know, that's like a double whammy.
And there it is. And so we're looking at the Food and Drug Administration, which have seemed to have really reshaped the American food chain, allowing for the development of the standard American diet, which consists of what?
Highly processed foods and not enough fruits and vegetables and exposures mm-hmm. to pesticides.
And it's also allowed for the incredible development of the pharmaceutical industry. Since 1960, sales of pharmaceuticals are up 13,237%. So, it seems like the Food and Drug Administration is doing somebody a lot of good, but not us. What do we do with it? 831-479-1080. We will be right back with Dr. Renee Dufault, the author of Unsafe at Any Meal. But hey, she's got a lot of tips about how to make your food safe, too. Maybe we'll pick that up when we get back. Do stay tuned.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, folks, there is a Tyrannosaurus Rex in the room, and nobody wants to talk about it. But some are whispering and pointing their fingers at that T-Rex and saying, it is the Food and Drug Administration. Well, is it? That's the question of the day. What are we going to do about it? My goodness, they've made possible this incredible standard American diet, the SAD diet, filled with highly processed foods that contain heavy metals like mercury and pesticides like glyphosate. And when those things hit our body, what happens? Well, we don't know what happens. Nobody really knows. But what we do know is we're getting sick. Alzheimer's, autism, 1 in 42 boys, hello, cancer, you name it, we seem to be getting it. What are we going to do about it? So let's take a look at the Food and Drug Administration, and here we have somebody on the line, by golly, who can help us come to grips with just exactly how all of this works. His name is Colonel Terry, and he was a part of that government. Colonel Terry, welcome aboard.
Yeah, greetings. Yeah, I dealt with the FDA many levels over many years, and the fundamentally it has been captured, starting with Reagan. It has been taken over and captured.
Well, wait a minute. It's been captured long before Reagan.
Well, even somewhat there, but especially in particular, continuously, it's been compromised by a variety of ways. First of all, food and drug industry contributions to politicians in both parties, especially the Congress. Secondly, they fund phony and inaccurate research activities and advocacy groups.
A minute. How do they go about funding phony research? And why would they fund phony research?
Well, economic research and phony advocacy research that we need to relax the FDA's oversight of their activities, that we need to not be concerned about such things as the toxicity in the foods, their processing techniques, continuously. And they've influenced the media with advertising buys, so we ignore the facts that your very capable guest is pointing out. we're ignoring that we are poisoning not only the air and water, we're poisoning ourselves with the toxicity in processed foods.
Yeah.
And I compliment and how do I find a copy of your book?
Unsafe at Any Meal. You know, the interesting thing about our guest, Dr. Renee DeFault, is she was with the FDA, working as part of the FDA. Dr. Renee, did you see evidence of phonied up research?
I never saw evidence of phonied up research. I did run into people who on travel that had informed me that, like one guy I met, he worked for a pharmacy type, a drug company. He said that he had that they had put in their application for their new drug, and they had hadn't even submitted all the data, and it was approved. So, I mean, I've heard of stories where people have
that's pretty good.
Approved, you know, that have gotten approved without, you know, even submitting all their data.
Uh-huh.
I don't personally know of any, business.
Right. So the Food and Drug Administration is responsible for the efficacy of foods and drugs, right? I mean, it's responsible for watching over the safety and efficacy of our food, to make sure that the food is safe, to make sure the food is viable and nutritious.
Really, it's not really responsible for food safety like people think, because they only have the authority to basically regulate labeling on food.
Well, what about the Food Safety Modernization Act of 2010 that gave them like totalitarian control over the nation's food?
Well, that was only over certain agricultural practices, as I recall, and it has to do with microbial issues. Like they want to go into small farms now and oversee whether or not, you know, their workers are hand washing and stuff like that. So that particular act is not at all focused on the toxic substances that are used in like making food ingredients.
Well, who is responsible for it then?
Well, the way it works is the manufacturers are responsible for submitting.
Oh no.
Yeah, they have to submit to FDA their petition on a given new food ingredient, and then they have to say whether or not the food ingredient is safe. And so that's for new ingredients, but for old ingredients, they were mostly grandfathered in.
Like mercury?
Well, mercury is not considered an ingredient as far as food labeling goes. It might be a trace element, but it's not regulated per se, other than what the Code of Federal Regulations says. You know, it says certain amounts of mercury can be found, are allowed in specific food ingredients, and not all food ingredients necessarily, just specific ones that are likely to contain mercury as a result of the manufacturing process.
So we have this standard American diet that we've eaten over the past 40 years, or at least most of us, and we're coming down with all of these bizarre Western diseases like Alzheimer's and autism and cancer and diabetes and my goodness, it's obvious that something isn't right. What does the FDA say about that? I mean, it's such a...
Well, first of all, FDA gets, there's a trade organization called U.S. Pharmacopoeia, and they've been around since the late, even way before FDA, before even the year 1900, the 1800s, late 1800s, they came into being. And they're the ones that are responsible for standards for monographs of specific chemicals used in food manufacturing and pharmaceutical manufacturing. And now they recently are responsible for supplement regulations. So, and they weren't always responsible for food ingredients. They took that over from an international organization years ago. So U.S. Pharmacopoeia, they decide what the regulation should be, and then FDA adopts that regulation. U.S. Pharmacopoeia is like the standard-making machine, if you will, and they impact all of the global food supply by what they say. All right, so FDA simply adopts these regulations and that or recommendation standards. But keep in mind, it's not like there's new regulations. A lot of what we see now is old regulation that's been around forever.
And what do they say about the fact that we're getting sick? I mean, do they just kind of like whistle in the dark or something? Whistle past the graves? Is that what they're doing?
They don't do disease prevention. They do treatment, pharmaceuticals. Okay, so that's the conflict of interest there. They're not interested in disease prevention. If there's
it's for sale.
Yeah,
folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, we will be right back. Terry, is everything for sale up there in Washington, D.C.?
Pretty much.
Thank you very much. We will be right back. 831-479-1080 is the phone number. You care to weigh in. What are we going to do about the T-Rex in the room, that Food and Drug Administration? What is it? It's so big. We're so sick. We're getting sicker, but there are drugs for it. Stay tuned.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Food and Drug Administration makes it possible for food manufacturers to put things into the food that probably we wouldn't put in, like mercury, like glyphosate herbicide. There are allowable levels the federal government allows into our food. But we keep eating the food, and it keeps accumulating in our body, especially if we don't have a diet sufficient in nutrients to get rid of it. So it keeps accumulating, and then it mixes with other things. You know, you mix a little mercury with a little bit of glyphosate and a little bit of lead and chlorpectrin and all kinds of fun things that you mix in that come in your food, and it accumulates. And what happens? Well, nobody knows. Nobody's saying, if anybody knows. But what we see happening is us getting sicker with diseases like Alzheimer's, autism, cancer, diabetes, all kinds of new Western diseases that are plaguing us. My goodness, men have lost 59.3% of their total sperm count in the last 40 years. Hello? Not looking good. But what the FDA also does is that it allows for the manufacturing of drugs to treat all of these wonderful things that we're getting. And my goodness sakes, have we been taking the drugs. Sales of pharmaceutical drugs up 13,237% over the last half a century, approaching $1 trillion a year. Hello, my goodness sakes. So, is there not an obvious conflict of interest here with this agency, between this agency and us? What do you think, Dr. Renee Dufault?
I believe so. And in fact, if I were in charge, I would take all food responsibility and put it in a separate agency. And I would take it from all the different groups that have anything to do with the food safety, and it would be a separate stand on its own agency, like the Environmental Protection Agency doesn't answer to anyone but Congress. So you'd have a food safety agency that only answered to Congress. It wasn't folded in a Department of Health or anything. It'd be completely freestanding, and then there'd be strict rules for who could work there. And who could work on advisory?
And with respect to who works there, I understand that Monsanto's former vice president, Michael Taylor, is with the FDA. It's a mucky muck with the FDA. How? I guess that's just an indication of who owns the FDA.
Right. I mean, right now, that's clear proof of conflict of interest. If we had an objective food safety agency that only cared about public health and reducing disease, and their whole mission was prevention of disease, food quality, food safety, then you wouldn't have anybody allowed to work there if they had any industrial ties whatsoever. That means on their advisory committees, if you were a professor of some nutrition science or food science department that had ties to corporations funding them, for example, you know, Monsanto provides grants for their
sure.
research, then you couldn't sit on an investment.
That would leave two people left in the United States.
Well, no, I think you could find them. You could train them. You could have university departments that was their focus, and they completely. I've done my research without any corporate. Input. Other people can.
Which is why we're talking to you today. I'll guarantee you that. Dr. Renee Dufault funds herself with her families and friends, gets no money from anybody, and therefore can say what she wants to say. And what she's saying is truly amazing. Dr. Renee, if we were to split the FDA into the food administration and the drug administration. If we were to do that, if somebody were to find out, how would you do that? I mean, you're facing with so much money at risk here that they would probably, you know, scratch your eyes out to prevent you from doing that.
It would have to be from Congress. You'd have to have an act of Congress. And that's where it comes to the consumer. Consumers should need to inform themselves. First, they could learn how to eat healthy themselves. And on our webpage, we have a healthy diet tutorial that goes with the book. Every chapter in the book has a module of instruction and lots of activities. So, because you can't change your behavior with just listening to a radio show or reading a book or watching a movie. You need to go through a series of activities. And then at the end of 8 weeks, your book study group, everybody's changed their diet. We've already used the tutorial in 3 clinical trials and shown its efficacy in helping people switch to a healthy diet. So first people need to get themselves healthy, and then they need to contact their congressman and say, look, we want a food safety agency that's going to help us prevent disease.
And then you're going to be faced with the fact that congressman is getting huge campaign donations from very big corporations, and they're going to smile at you and shake your hand and say, I'm so happy you're watching over our good consumers, and they're going to smile and say nice things to you and give you a cup of coffee and then usher you out the door and close the door and take the money.
In our next election, food quality needs to be the number one issue. Everybody's complaining about the healthcare costs. Oh, the healthcare costs. Oh, Medicare. Oh, this, oh, that. Well, you know what? We can reduce those costs if we had a good food supply, a healthy, whole food supply that did not expose us to low levels of toxic substances that become toxic over time and give us disease. You know, I mean, our children are being impacted. Hyperactivity is monumental.
One in 42 boys.
That's just autism. Hyperactivity is insane with our kids in the public schools now. And you know, we have ingredients with no warning on our food packaging. And
hold that thought, Dr. Renee. We're going to have to take the final break. But when we come back, what can we do? There are things we can do. First thing we can do is know what's being done to us. This is The Food Chain. Dr. Renee Dufault, Michael Olson, you.
Here's a little secret I'm telling you. Take a little pledge called the 2x2. Spend $2 on local food each day and get 2 friends to do the same and play. Oh, they'll spend their money, and when they're through, they'll get 2 friends and do it too.
We can eat our way to economic security and personal freedom. It won't cost an extra dime, and it will be so easy, it will make you blush. All it takes is 2 numbers. One is 2, the other is 2-2. Join us. Take the 2x2 pledge.
There's a little secret I shared with you, a simple pledge called the 2x2. You can do it. It don't cost much. It's so easy, it'll make you blush. Pledge 2 local bucks each day. Get 2 others to pledge and play.
Take your 2x2 pledge at MetroFarm.com.
2x2. So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a Tyrannosaurus Rex in the room, and it is eating us up. Oh, yes, it is. You look at the diseases we're catching, and the cost of those diseases, and the debilitating impact those diseases have on our culture and our society. Oh, yes, that T-Rex is eating us up. And so it's time for us to do something about it. And what can we do about our food so that we can survive and prosper? Dr. Renee DeFault, you have some really good ideas in your food ingredient .info. I especially like the information you give teens in your teen diet tutorial. But I think it should be the same tutorial for everybody, because it really helps people come to grips with what is happening to our cells via our food and the drugs that we are taking to compensate for what is happening to our body. Where do we start?
Well, the adult tutorial is free, as is the teen. The adult is based on the assumption that you're a junior in high school or older, and that you've had chemistry and biology. And so the teen tutorial is for grades 8 to 10, because I'm licensed to teach biology, okay, in mm-hmm. high school, and I know what those kids have had. And so you need to, in order to really get the information, the book is written for more of an adult audience. So the healthy teen diet tutorial is really, you know, a shortened version, and it includes the chapters in the book that's the minimum they need to know at that age. Then they can, you know, go into the adult tutorial.
What do the children do when you tell them what's being done to their bodies?
Well, I think they become more aware. I had the opportunity to teach all different levels of biology, over 2 years, very recently. I mean, this time last year I was doing that. And the teens are very receptive to learning what's going on in the food supply, and I think they appreciate the information. And that helps them make good choices, because the reality is, Michael, is that what we eat today impacts how our children are going to function tomorrow. We know that, for example, it's a fact that if you have two diabetic parents and they have a child, that child is going to be born insulin resistant. Okay? So we're impacting the future generations today by what we eat. And we know this now because of the new field of epigenetics, which is how what we eat determines how our foods behave, our gene. What we're exposed to determines how our genes behave, okay? Mm-hmm. So we have to get down and get our kids educated on nutrition. Right now they're not getting any nutrition, limited nutrition, if any, in high school, elementary. They talk about stay away from drugs, stay away from cigarettes.
Don't you think they want us to be stupid? I mean the people who are making these things and selling these drugs and governing how they do it, don't you think they want us to stay stupid?
Well, I think that is a goal, probably even talked about, but I do think Americans are smarter than that, and we need to exercise our right to vote and to let our voices be heard. And I don't think we should elect any officials that aren't concerned with food quality issues, number one.
Food quality, number one. It's our jihad, folks. Pick it up and become part of it. Dr. Renee DeFault, thank you so much for joining us these past two editions of The Food Chain. The book, Unsafe at Any Meal. The website, foodingredient.info. Arm yourself. Go to war. Save the future. Thank you all for tuning in.
Thank you, Michael.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.